We bid you welcome on this most glorious evening to Cabra. And what a joy it is for us to gather on this special occasion, on the 70th anniversary of the commencement and constitution of the work of the Free Presbyterian Church in this locality. It was on Saturday the 23rd of June 1951 at 3:30 p.m. that the Cabra congregation became the third constituted congregation of the Free Presbyterian Church. And so it is a joy to see all who have come with us to join in this occasion tonight. And we trust that the Lord will bless us as we gather in this open air to the honour and glory of his name. We're going to commence our service by singing together Fanny Crosby's great hymn, "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Hath Done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son." Now, if you want to get out of your car and stand in front of your car or behind your car or beside your car, you can do so and it will maybe help us in the singing. And of course, I have a male voice quintet or quartet, I'm not sure what it is, behind me, and I'm depending on them to keep me right. So let's all praise God in the singing of this lovely hymn, "To God Be the Glory."
Thank you.
reception of our congregation. We are pleased that each and every one of our clerks of session have had a personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask our current clerk of session, Mr. Phil Muffin, to come and to lead us to the throne of grace in prayer, please. Brother Phil.
Let us all bow together in prayer. Eternal, most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank thee that we can gather together as a company of thy people under the open canopy of heaven this afternoon. And we do so in and through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We gather together to remember those men and women of faith in a bygone day. Those men and women of vision.
Amen.
And of passion, and who had a desire to see the lost one for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that we have entered into their labours.
Yes.
And Lord, we rejoice in thee this day for thy great goodness to this congregation over these past 70 years.
Amen.
Truly we can say, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name.
Amen.
We give the glory. Remember those days of old, and how the Spirit of God moved in a mighty way his wonders to perform. And how you raised a people who were prepared to stand without the camp, bearing the reproach. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for their unfeigned faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, for the love they had for the lost. And in a day of apathy, in a day of apostasy, they were prepared to stand upon the crown rights of the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless thee for the promise that thou didst give to them those many years ago, that though thy beginnings be small, thy latter end shall greatly increase. And Lord, we do return unto thee thanks for all those faithful servants of thine who have occupied the pulpit in successive generations. We thank thee not only for a born-again communicant membership, we thank thee for office bearers throughout the long history who have known and loved the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Saviour. We thank thee for pastors who have had a love for the flock. And Lord, we do rejoice in thy great goodness.
Amen.
Bestowed upon such a people as we. We ask that thou wilt bless us this evening. We think just a few years ago when we met here and the Spirit of God moved and souls were saved.
Amen.
At the mission. We return unto thee thanks for the conversion of Mervyn and Rhonda on that occasion.
Amen.
Lord, do it again.
Amen.
We pray. Grant that thou wilt open up the windows of heaven this night and pour us out a blessing the like of which.
Amen.
We have never seen before.
Amen.
To this end we pray that thou wilt bless all those who will take part in the service this evening. Pray for Jonathan as he comes shortly and shares with us the grace of God made manifest in his life. We pray for Rebecca as she comes and as she ministers in song. Speak to us through those words, we pray. Then as we turn to the scriptures this evening, oh how we pray for a special anointing of the Spirit upon our pastor, that thou wilt bless him with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Grant that as he deals with that tremendous text, behold, look, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, speak through his ministry. Take the mere words of man, and by the power of the Spirit of God, bring old-fashioned conviction of sin to the hearts and souls of sinners. We pray that thou wilt make bare thine arm of salvation this evening, that new names might be written in the Lamb's book of life, and that thou wilt sweep many into the kingdom of our God. So we return thanks unto thee for these 70 long years of faithful witness of this fellowship. We pray that the best might yet be.
Amen.
For we ask these things in our Saviour's precious and in his worthy name. Amen.
Amen.
Down through the years, we have been blessed with having many who have come to minister in Sun, and we're particularly pleased that Rebecca Park is now going to come and bring to us a message in Sun, please. Rebecca. If you haven't yet been able to get on to the radio frequency, just in case there's anyone who's missed it, it is 88.4, and then you'll be able to hear in your car. Undoubtedly, one of the men who were instrumental in the commencement of the work at Cabra. What a joy it is for us to be here this evening to have the church, the old schoolhouse, and the barn all within the distance of this field. One of those men was the late Sandy McCauley. It was a great joy for us to have two of his grandsons to be with us, who are both elders in our congregation at Hebron. I'm going to ask Jonathan McCauley to come now and to give a personal word of testimony. Jonathan.
Well, it's a real privilege for me to be here this evening to give a word of testimony at this special open air service marking 70 years from the beginning of our church. I was brought up in this area, in fact, just a few fields behind the lorry would take me to our home in the Bowie Road. And I thank God I was brought up in a godly home where the scriptures were taught and my mum and dad's influences were and still remain examples of what it is like to live for Christ. So from birth, I and my three brothers knew the gospel. This, of course, didn't save me. I was born a sinner. The Bible says in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." A filthy rag is not a very nice thing. And that's what the way that God views what we think as our good works. I heard at home that although I was a sinner and lost in my sin, and that God hates sin, yet his love sent the Lord Jesus to die on the cross to save me. What a privilege it was, even from an early age, to hear that simple message of the gospel. I had some very early impacts on my life, and I today have a very deep burden for children and young people, and I believe that comes from the fact that I believe that young people and boys and girls take in far more sometimes than adults will give them credit for, and this was the case for me. Not only did I listen to the gospel, but I watched lives that were touched and shaped by the gospel from a very early age. Early church life had a deep impact on my young life. Even though I wasn't saved, when visiting speakers like Dr. Paisley, the Reverend S.B. Cook, and our minister at the time, the Reverend Alan Kearns, spoke, even though I didn't really understand everything they said, I knew that these were men of God, and I could understand enough to take in what the gospel and what this meant to me. Their influence, the Holy Spirit working through them, had a deep impact on my young life. Sunday school teachers, faithful Sunday school teachers that taught me, lived the life before me as well. One example of this, as I remember as a young boy, probably not much older than a toddler, being taken into the elders' time of prayer before the service. And there hearing my father and the late godly elder Cochrane Hutchison praying. And you know, those were prayers that were real. They were prayers that were sincere, and they were also prayers that were answered. I was living proof of that verse in James 5 and 16. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I knew very early on that at our church we worship the living, resurrected Christ. This was real, this was powerful, And this made an impression on me of the reality of the power of God. It didn't save me. And it wasn't until a mission came to our church. As Mervyn has said, there was a mission held just at the bottom of this field in the old schoolhouse in 51. And at that mission, 100 souls were saved. But another memorable mission in our church was in 76.
Yes.
And I remember that very well. I was only a wee boy of the age of 6 years old. And I still remember that, the presence of God at that mission to this day.
Amen.
The gospel was preached faithfully every night. And nearly every night that I can remember, souls were saved. So many souls were being counseled and saved that had they, one minister wasn't enough. There had to be two ministers pointing souls to Christ. One night at that mission, God spoke to my heart. And in childlike faith, I simply took God at his word.
Amen. Yes.
I just turned in faith and repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I asked him into my heart, and he took me in. I'm thankful that God had a plan for my sins and for your sins too. If you'd like to turn to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Galatians 4, verse 4. It says there, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And you know that's exactly what happened to me that night as a young boy. Because God sent forth his Son, and I was redeemed by his blood, the Spirit entered into my heart and he changed me. So that I was accepted into God's family and now could call God my Heavenly Father, Abba Father. What a miracle of grace took place that night. The peace of God flooded my soul and I was made a new creature in Christ. Not because of something that I did, but totally to do with the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Growing up, I was blessed with a godly church. And in keeping with the 70 years that we remember today, I want to pay tribute to a church that preached the gospel, to a praying family, to faithful ministers, and to good young Christian friends. And I want to praise and thank God for this. Youth Fellowship and friends like Alan Buick and Noel Halliday, Mark McCauley, Brian McCauley helped me to enjoy the Christian life. And although none of us were perfect, yet we stayed together and we were kept by God's grace from the things of the world. Moving on a little, God has blessed me with a godly wife. Ruth has been a tower of strength to me in good times and in difficult times. And I owe her a lot. I thank the Lord for a good wife. We have two children, Rebecca and Lewis, who are saved.
Amen.
And we pray daily that God would continue to help them and that they might grow in grace and in knowledge of their Saviour. Can I, at this time of anniversary, thank God also for my pastor, the Reverend Park. He has not only been a minister, but he's been my friend. He's been my encourager, confidant, and an example. He's a good wife as well. And I, the congregation, greatly value our dear brother. And we value his work in Hebron and on the mission fields throughout the world. Many times throughout my life, I have let the Lord down. And this saddens my heart. But thankfully, he has never let me down. When humanly speaking, sometimes we would expect he should. Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does the Lord mean to me now, after all these years later, after being saved at the age of 6? Well, He's my God. He's my Savior. And He's my friend. In life, we have mountaintop and valley experiences. And He's been with me in both. And it's great to know that He'll be with me in death. And whenever we cross the Jordan, He'll be with me then as well. I've grown to love that verse in Isaiah 41 and verse 10. And it's been a great comfort to me when we go through difficult times in our life. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I wonder today, is Jesus Christ your Savior? And is He your friend? You know He can be. Romans 10 verse 13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call is not a difficult thing to do. It's simple. And the gospel is simple. I wonder today, will you call upon the Lord and be saved? Do you have a peace in your heart that if you were to die tonight, that it's well with your soul? If not, I implore you to come to Him today. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That night in October 1976 was my accepted time. I pray today that it will be yours tonight. And you will come in faith and repentance to the Savior and make your calling and election sure tonight. May the Lord bless that word of testimony to all of your hearts.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jonathan. Before we sing our next hymn on our order of service, there are a few announcements that I want to briefly make. We want to bid you all welcome to this special service this evening. Thank you for taking the time to come and to join with us. If you're not a regular attender at Hebron, you're particularly welcome. And to our own congregation, we say welcome. It's so lovely to see those that we haven't seen because of the circumstances that we have been in over the last number of months. And what a joy to see some of you here this evening. And to our entire congregation, you know we love you in the Lord, and we trust that the Lord will bless you for being with us tonight. We're particularly pleased tonight to have with us our elder emeritus, Mr. Griffith Gray.
Amen.
We love you, brother. You are a brother who is held in the highest regard in our congregation and in our session. And what a joy it is for us tonight to see you with us. May the Lord continue to bless you in your own soul. I want also to thank a number of people we have made this evening possible. To Mr. Martin Wilson and Desi Taylor for the use of the field. To the team who came yesterday and helped to make preparation both at Cabra and here. To Robert Andrews for the sound. And I have to say, I'm sure it's a long time since you've been in a field with a platform where you've had a sound system where you can hear. And it is a joy to have something of this quality. And to our brother Robert, we thank him sincerely for being with us this evening. To those who have taken part, especially to our sister Rebecca and to our own elders, we thank you in the Saviour's name. To our organist and pianist, thank you for the ministry of music, and we pray that the Lord will continue to bless you. To our media team, Paul, to Samuel, and to Aaron, to enable us this evening to have this service broadcast and recorded, we thank you in the Saviour's name. To Brother Jonathan for the use of this lorry, and also to Timothy McCauley, Tim McCauley, and Andrew Hegarty for the use of the two telescopic handlers. And I'm sure you wondered why, when you come in to the field this evening, you thought we were for doing something well, bales or something. You wondered why they were there. But now I trust you see the reason why they're there, so that the stickers were able to be put up in such a way. So thank you to Tim and to Andrew for that. There will be an offering as you leave this evening, but I want to emphasise, do not feel in any way obligated. It'll be a retiring offering, and two of our brethren will be at the gate going out. We didn't charge you to come in, but we only charge you to get out. But we trust that we leave that matter with you, and we trust that the Lord will undertake in that regard. In regards to leaving, and I say this now in case I forget, because you know now, by now, that I will forget things. When you leave, it will be the same as, the no yellow sticks right enough, but it'll be the same as leaving the church. You'll be asked to go row by row. So don't all please start up your engines and all head for the gate at the one time. We will try and do it in an orderly way, and I trust that will keep everyone safe. Our next hymn on the order of service is the hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins." A church that doesn't preach the blood is a church that doesn't preach the gospel. And what a blessing to know that in the 70-year history of this congregation, there has been the proclamation of the precious blood of Christ. The hymn number, well, there's not a hymn number on it, so there's a hymn. There is a fountain filled with blood. What number is it, brother?
Is it 281?
281, Mr. Park says, and that'll do me. Because I have no hymn book, so 281 if you've a hymn book with you. There is a fountain filled with blood.
Thank you.
to ask the elders to sing the first verse of the chorus again on their own.
Yield not to temptation.
And I think they will. Because I know you'll come out again, I'm sure you'll love to hear them. So, we're going to ask these men. It's a long time since I've had them all in one big room. And of course, Mr. Park is a teaching elder, so he'll have to join us as well. So if the ladies could give us... He's only singing on a company.
No.
There's plenty of mics. This is the opportunity for us now to make it on the big stage. And we'll sing "There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood" and the chorus as well. Okay. Sunday school, one of our elders, our brother Weston McCauley, to come now and to read to us the scriptures.
Our scripture reading this evening is taken from John's Gospel, the first chapter. So if you can turn to John chapter 1, and we're going to commence our reading at the verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent forth priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they answered him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye knew not. He it is who coming after me is prepared before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is prepared before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest in Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom I shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his precious word.
Amen.
Since the inception of our congregation 7 years ago, we have been blessed to have men of God to fill the pulpit in the Free Presbyterian Church at Hebron. Reverend Cecil Maneri, Reverend John Wiley, Reverend Alan Cairns, Reverend Leslie Curran, and our current minister, Reverend David Park. On the day that Canberra was opened, 70 years ago, there was a hymn that was sung that was written by the late Bobby DeNove. In that hymn, there are two verses that I think a line is very appropriate for the men who have ministered and for the minister that we have in Hebron today. In the days of long ago, when the Lord his way would show to those who groaned in sin and misery, he always chose a man to suit his wondrous plan. And praise the Lord, he's still the same today. In this church today we stand, once again God found his man, who the truth believed and therefore did obey. We know the Lord will bless his people with success, for the God they serve is still the same today. He always chose a man. It is a joy for me to welcome to this service this evening our own minister in the person of the Reverend David Park, almost with us now some 25 years. Brother, you have been a blessing, an encouragement, and you have been a faithful servant of the cross. I'm going to ask you to come now and to minister to us God's precious word.
Can I say good evening to you all, and I want to thank Merlin. There is a seat for you here, Merlin, if you want. He's choosing to sit on the forms of the pews. These belong to the Cabra, and they were used for a little time in Ballymoney, and two of them have been reconstituted and brought here to the front. Anybody else that wants to come and sit in the cool air, you're welcome to do that. But thank you, Merlin. Thank you, brethren, for taking part tonight. Really appreciate that. These men, in a very real sense, are not only my friends, they are my family. And the congregation here in Hebron, if you're a member of that congregation, you are likewise family. We have always seen ourselves to be a family church. And we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're so glad that you're here tonight. So glad that our brother Griffith is here. And it's good to see him again in the flesh. It's been a little time since we've been able to visit him. I understand that Trevor Wiley is also here. And Brother Trevor, you're part of the work, the history, as we go back to the ministry of your father. Thank you for coming to attend this meeting. And of course, Mrs. Kern sitting in the car over here, her husband played a very vital part also in the ministry at Hebron. Good also to see some Lisburn friends not too far away, and Father, you've made the journey to come all this way with your dear wife. Thank you in the Saviour's name. It's a joy for me to be here. Different surroundings, unusual surroundings for me, and an open air service here in the field. And I think with the speaking equipment, I'm going to be heard a mile away. It was said in the early mission when Dr. Paisley preached down in the schoolhouse that they could hear him a mile away, and he didn't have this big equipment. I need that to be heard at that distance. So thank you, Robert, for coming and for providing the amplification. I was also this morning given a hymn sheet of the opening service on the 23rd of June 1951, containing the hymns that were sung on that day when the church commenced. So I will certainly treasure that. I have a text that I want to leave with you. I told the folks in Hebron this morning that it was my desire and burden to preach on John chapter 1 and verse 29. This great testimony that John the Baptist bears to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now, before I come to my text, I want to just reflect for a moment or two. 70 years ago, in the month of April, down here in the schoolhouse, there was a visitation from God. Reverend Ian Paisley, 24 years of age, came to preach on a gospel mission, a mission that continued for 6 weeks, when 100 souls professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. At the conclusion of that mission, a decision had to be taken. Do they send the new converts back into many of the churches where the gospel was not preached, or do they start a new Free Presbyterian church? That decision was not taken before prayer. And so in the home of Sandy McCauley, and that home is probably directly behind me, if you go straight behind me to the by road, you will come to where that home used to stand. And the prayer meeting continued all the night through, and as you heard this morning in the house of God, at 7 o'clock in the garden, the decision was taken that a new Free Presbyterian church would commence. William Stevenson's barn became the first spiritual home of the new congregation, and that barn is still standing over on my left side. The Catholic Church then was built, and that is the Catholic Church 70 years on, and that was opened on the 8th of November 1952. So the first 21 years of our history was in this vicinity, and we're coming back to the place where we began. There were days of heaven upon the earth, and God was pleased to bless the ministry of the Reverend Cecil Maneri and also the Reverend Adam Cairns, the Reverend John Wiley, as they labored here. The church then moved into the town, and the new building was opened in 1972. The Reverend Leslie Curran was my predecessor, who labored for 15 years before I came. There have been great missions over the years in the presentation of the gospel. Wonderful times of blessing when precious souls were swept into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And I know that sitting in the cars tonight in this open air service, there are those who find Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in the 70 years of our history. We think also of godly elders and godly deacons. Some of them are in the glory today, but I had the privilege of meeting a number of them, like William Stevenson. I would have visited William up here in his house. The late Nevin Carson, Brother Albert McCauley, our brother John Curry, and deacons like James Stevenson and Jim Hegarty. These were all good friends and godly elders and deacons in the church. And over the years, God was pleased to call young men and women into his work. And this morning we took time to give him the praise and acknowledge his mercy, and to say from the very depths of our heart, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. But this church has always been known as a gospel preaching church. We have sought to be faithful to God, to his word, to the dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to the souls of men. We preach Christ, and we preach him crucified. The death of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ that bought eternal redemption for his people. And by the grace of God, we will continue to preach that same gospel and set before our hearers Christ Jesus the Lord. And I covenant before God this day to continue in the old paths of our forefathers and to keep preaching Christ. And I trust that you as the congregation will give yourselves afresh to the Lord and rededicate your life these 70 years onwards to the Lord this very night. Whatever weeks, months, years we might have in this earth to live the life to the great glory of our God. I have a text that I could not get away from, and it is a text that I want to leave with you tonight, which I have mentioned. John chapter 1 and verse 29. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The great Bible expositor and gospel preacher, the Bishop J.C. Ryle, who was the first bishop of Liverpool, lived over 100 years ago, in his commentary writing on this passage, and particularly writing on this text, he said, "This passage contains a verse which ought to be printed in great letters in the memory of every reader of the Bible. All the stars in heaven are bright and beautiful, and yet one star exceedeth another star in glory. So also all texts of Scripture are inspired and profitable, and yet some texts are richer than others. Of such texts, the verse before us is preeminently one. Never was there a fuller testimony born to Christ upon earth than that which is here born by John the Baptist. Come with me from the banks of the River Jordan. We see a fiery preacher of the gospel, and he's calling sinners to repentance and to faith. New converts are being baptized, and undoubtedly these were marvelous days. And now something remarkable is about to happen. John the Baptist is about to have the immeasurable privilege of introducing the Messiah to his Jewish audience, in fact to the world. As John is preaching, he sees Christ coming in the distance. And as he comes near, John the Baptist lifts his voice and he declares in the words of our text, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." 2,000 years have passed, and there have been many changes in the world, as we all know. But there are some things that never change, and this is one of them. This message has never changed. It is the unchanging and the unchangeable message of the gospel. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And that's what sinners need to do. And that's what you need to do if you have not beheld Christ. You need to behold him tonight. This text has been on our church wall for almost 50 years. And in the most wonderful and miraculous way, it was used by the Lord to bring one lady that I remember to saving faith in Christ. It was when the old 72 building was being demolished bit by bit, and so you could see the back wall of the church. You could read the text, "Behold the Lamb of God." And as this lady was out walking her dog, she was constantly confronted by this verse of Scripture each day that she walked by, until the Word of God gripped her heart and she came to that place where she beheld the Lamb of God and was gloriously seen. This text, I believe, was Dr. Cairns' text. And on his stone there in Ballygowan graveyard, the text is there. I was able to see it just a couple of weeks ago. "Behold the Lamb of God." And I can find no greater text to set before your attention on this anniversary day. And I want you to hear this text, and I want you to obey this text. I want you to behold Christ, the Lamb of God. I want you to see, first of all, that there is the description here of the Savior. And John calls him the Lamb of God, a most familiar term to the Jew. John's audience would identify immediately with this picture that he presents. They knew their history. They knew the significance of the Lamb. There was Abel's Lamb, right at the beginning of time, when Abel brought his lamb to the altar and shed the blood of that lamb and found acceptance before Almighty God. There was Abraham's lamb, the ram that was caught by the horns in the thicket. Oh, you remember the question that his son Isaac asked. As Abraham and Isaac walked up the hill of Mount Moriah, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And the answer, of course, was most striking. But Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. And here, that statement is being fulfilled in its fullest context as John is standing on the banks of the Jordan and he's announcing the Lord Jesus Christ as God's lamb. There was also the Passover lamb. Oh, that night in the land of Egypt when the death angel passed over the homes of the Hebrews that were sheltered by the blood of the lamb. They had been instructed by God's servant to shed the blood of the lamb and to strike it on the lintel and the side posts of their home. And the great promise of God is, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so they were sheltered beneath the blood of the Lamb, a wonderful picture of God's Lamb who would come in the fullness of time. Lambs were used in the daily sacrifice. They were used for sin and burnt offerings and so forth. And those Old Testament lambs were characterized by a number of things, particularly two. They were to be spotless. They were to be without blemish. And they were to be sacrificed. The blood had to be shed. And now John, standing on the banks of the Jordan, he speaks to his Jewish audience about the Lamb of God as he sees the Lord Jesus Christ approaching. My dear friends, tonight, Jesus Christ is God's Lamb. The perfect, spotless, pure, flawless Lamb who went to the cross and shed his blood for our sins. Peter refers to Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. And John speaks much about God's Lamb, especially in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. That Lamb that had been slain, referring to the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. And my dear friends, tonight I want you to see the Lamb of God, the precious, holy, undefiled Lamb of God who came into this world to be that sacrifice for our sin. Then secondly, I want you to see in this text that there is the redemption of the sinner. Because John highlights the fact that this Lamb, God's Lamb, taketh away the sin of the world. And this expression is a very important one. Christ removes sin. Here at the commencement of his ministry, Jesus Christ was presented to the crowd, indeed to the world, in a manner which set forth his sacrificial agony and death on the cross. He's the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. A clear and an unmistakable reference to the great work that Christ came to do. The shadow of the cross was cast over the entire ministry of our blessed Savior. Here is the great and the ultimate task of God's dear Son. To this end he was born. To this end he was ordained to come forth in the fullness of time. Calvary was the ultimate destiny
of the blessed Christ. He came to die, and so die like a lamb led to the slaughter, as the prophet, the evangelical prophet Isaiah, speaks about in Isaiah chapter 53. John did not announce Christ as a great moral example. He did not announce him as a great teacher of holiness and love. He did not speak of one who had come to this earth to be a conqueror or a king, though a king he certainly was, nor as a great philosopher or as a poet. No, John proclaimed him as the sacrifice for sin. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is how the Lord Jesus is introduced to the world, right here at the beginning of his ministry. This is the one appointed and sent by God to take away sin, and he will accomplish this as God's Lamb. In one powerful and beautiful sentence, John summarized the greatest work of our dear Savior. The blessed Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and to save sinners by his death as God's Lamb. The original sense of this little phrase here combines the words to bear and to take away. In other words, Jesus bears sin, but in the sense of bearing them upon himself and taking them away. The verb that is used, taketh away, conveys the idea of bearing off. There was no other way of salvation than God's Lamb. Sin cannot be removed by any other means. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sin condemns the sinner. Sin pronounces the sentence of eternal death upon the sinner. And sin will bring men down to the sides of the pit of hell forevermore. That's what we all deserve. That's what I deserve. That's what you deserve. It is sin that keeps men out of heaven. And if you're not saved tonight, your sin is keeping you out of heaven. And your sin needs to be removed. There's no other way than by the blood of Christ, the one who died upon the cross to take away our sin. That's what he came to do. Yonder upon that center tree, in all his suffering, sin was laid upon the Lord Jesus. He took the punishment. He endured the wrath. He carried away sin. Nothing else could do that. Jesus took our sins upon himself at the cross. All that the justice of God demanded, all that we deserved by way of wrath and punishment, Jesus fully and truly took this upon himself, and he carried away our sin. Who his own self bare our sin in his own body at the tree, proclaimed Peter in 1 Peter 2 and 24. He's the almighty Savior who was able to save to the uttermost, able to take away all our sin, our past sin, our present sin, our future sin, sins of a lifetime, sins that have accumulated until mountain high, all the dark, vile, hideous sins that we've ever committed, and all the little sins that we count insignificant. Jesus carried the sin away, all of our sin, the sins of his people, for all who would come to trust in him. And then I have one final point as we look at our text. There is the appropriation of the salvation. And it's there in the first word. Behold, that's what you need to do tonight. You're maybe asking yourself, how do I appropriate, how do I apply this salvation to my heart and life? How do I come to that place where my sins are taken away? My dear friends, you need to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. As I looked at that word behold, there were some thoughts that came to my mind. I thought, first of all, here we have sovereign confrontation. God is confronting us in this word. This is God stepping in. This is God getting our attention. This is God calling out to you. The word behold has the thought of looking, but it also has the thought of arresting. Arresting your attention. And what God is saying here is, sit up. You want to pay attention. You want to get your priorities right. And what is God saying to you? He's saying to you, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Not only is there sovereign confrontation here, but I believe in the word there is saving instruction. Here's how to apply the work of redemption. Here is how to appropriate it to yourself, to receive it, to get right with God. This word, behold, is a very instructive word. And it's telling you to look to Christ, to get your gaze upon Him, to look off everything else, and fix it upon the one who came to be God's Lamb to take away our sin. Will you behold Him tonight? This is how you can apply redemption to your heart. Looking away by faith to Jesus Christ crucified for your sin. And then I thought, in this word we have a sincere persuasion. I thought of myself. I thought of myself as a preacher. And how I would seek to turn men from their sin, and to plead with them, and to exhort them to get right with God, and to cry in their ear, behold, 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 I would seek to persuade you to turn to Christ and behold Him as your Redeemer tonight. But I also thought in this word, there's a solemn caution. If you fail to behold, if you fail to look to Him and trust in Him alone for your salvation, you will die in your sin and you will be lost forever. And so there is a warning here. There's a caution here. If you refuse to obey this text, if you refuse to behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, you will be lost forever. Can you not see how urgent this text is, therefore, for you to obey? Have you beheld the Lamb of God? Have you looked away from yourself, from everything else, and got your gaze fixed upon Him who was crucified for your sin? Have you done that, my friend? And if not, will you do it tonight? Will you do it just where you're sitting in your car? Will you behold Christ? Will you look to Him crucified for your sin, dying yonder upon that sepulchre tree, taking the wrath of God for you? Will you not do it right now, on this 70th anniversary celebration? Oh, what a seal to the work! And some dear sinner came to trust in the living Christ. That's our prayer. That's why we've organized tonight. That's why we've organized today. It's a day of rejoicing. It's a day of thanksgiving. It's a day of reflection. We look back to all that God has done in 70 years. But it's a day to say we're still preaching Christ. We're still presenting the gospel. We're still pleading with sinners to be reconciled to God. And that's the burden of my heart as I stand at this pulpit tonight. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. We'll have a wee word of prayer and then I'll hand back to our brother Vernon. Almighty God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful gem of Scripture, the great testimony of John the Baptist of Christ in his day, and it hasn't changed, not one bit. Lord, we're still calling men to behold God's Lamb, the one who came into this world to take away our sin. But He did that by the sacrifice of Himself. Oh, lead us to Calvary. Lead us to the cross just now. Help us, Lord, to behold God's Lamb crucified for our sin. Help us to see one dying in agony, taking upon him our sin, bearing the wrath of God, the hell that we deserve, that we might be saved forevermore. Oh God, speak tonight in us, speak into the heart, not just the mind, but right into the heart of poor sinners. Some of the Lord have been prayed for over the 70 years. Their names have gone up before thee time and time again. Some wife begging for the salvation of her husband. Some mother crying to God for the salvation of her son or daughter that's far away from thee. Lord, you know each one. You know when they stand with God. May this be the night of salvation for reach down into this field and pluck sinners from the brands that are burning for Jesus' sake and for God's eternal glory. We pray and ask these things. Amen. Brother Mervyn, just as he's coming up, let me remind you we're always here to speak to you. If you're concerned at all and we can help any further, please come and talk to us after the service. Or ring us later, we'll come round to see you. But come to Christ. Come away tonight and trust in him. Amen.
Our closing hymn is a hymn, I Am Coming to the Cross. I am poor, weak and blind, I am counting all but dross. I shall full salvation find. And if you can remember, dear Brother Albert used to always quote the third verse, here I give my all to thee, friends and time and earthly store, soul and body thine to be, wholly thine forever. After we sing this hymn, another grandson of the late Sandy Macaulay, brother Mr. John Macaulay, who I suppose is probably our senior elder, is going to come.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Burke said a very young senior elder is going to come and conclude our time together in a word of prayer.
Amen.
As the Lord helped us. And just that's what we come today, just to give thanks to the Lord for all that He's done in recent days, over the last 7 years. And just on that personal note, I was part of the, not at the very start, 7 years ago, but I was on that building, and I thank the Lord for every memory.
Amen.
And even as Sidney and Robert reminisced this morning, there are many memories floating by. Some I'd forgot about, so my memory's not as good as theirs. But I think of those men at Ballykelly. I remember that man preaching many times, and he was only a lorry driver. I remember that, he's a lorry to Shell Mix, but he's a man who knew how to preach the gospel, knew God's word. Those memories stick out in my mind. And for Cecil Harvey, remember him, and he was a man, I always remember him, his face always shone. He was a high collar and his face shone, and the very good of the Lord just shone from him, and he was a good gospel preacher as well. And I remember those things, and Sunday school teachers and pastors, many of them today, and glory.
Yes.
You know, those Sunday school teachers that stand out in my mind, and I just think the Lord used even that, as well as my own home upbringing, to bring me to Himself.
Hallelujah.
I just thank the Lord for that. But have a word of prayer just as we close this evening. Heavenly Father, again, we just come at the end of this service, Thanksgiving anniversary service today.
Amen.
And Lord, we just say to God be the glory.
Yes, Lord.
Great things He has done. And Lord, we just thank You for what You've done over the last 70 years. Lord, we just thank You for those men and women who we bind in those early days at the very beginning. We took the stand for Thee. We took that stand without the jump. And Lord, I bore that reproach. We know it wasn't easy for them, but we just thank You. They were men and women with bite bone. And Lord, we just thank You for their memory. And Lord, we just pray that we today at our left, Lord, we press on. Lord, we just thank You. Said this morning, have a good inheritance. We just pray, Lord, we'll press on with Thee. We thank You for all You've done down through the years. We thank You for the many precious souls that have been saved. And Lord, we give Thee the glory for that. And we just pray, Lord, that You brought us to this present day. We thank You for the past. We just thank You for going back to the past and can look at the past, and it's a blessing to do so. And Lord, You've brought us right through to the present day. We thank You for our own pastor. We just give You thanks for him. We just thank You for his preaching of Thy precious word, the many ministries of God, and His pastoral work. And we just pray, Lord, that even He will see many seeds gathered in even during His ministry in Hebron as He carries on amongst us. So thank You for Him. Thank You for our elders. We thank You for Amanda. We thank You for every worker, Sunday school teacher, and for the Christian school, and for every ministry that is there. We just thank You have brought us to this day. And Lord, we look to the future, and we believe that end is not yet, and the best is yet to be. And we just pray, Lord, You just be with us and the days lie ahead, Lord, there's much ground still to be possessed. And Lord, we just believe that You're going to do great things in the coming days. So leave those things all in Thy hands. Pray, Lord, that Thou part us with Thy blessing. Go with us to Your homes and safety. You pray, Lord, for Thy word that will still linger on. And thank You for helping Him in Mr. Burke and Icy. Brought Thy word, and Lord, our prayer would be, Lord, for those that are here this afternoon, we still don't know Thee. Lord, that they look unto Thee. Lord, they look like there's life for a look. Just say, Lord, they look to Jesus. Just will they realize what their sin did. It took the Lord Jesus Christ to Calvary. And there He bore their sin there upon that cruel cross. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, even tonight, the stillness of the night as we go home, Lord, You'll continue to deal with them. And Lord, even, we pray, Lord, even on these anniversaries here, we pray that someone will come to trust the age of Savior, even more than one, for You're able to do far more abundantly than we meet and after. And Lord, we brought us these services before Thee, and Lord, we pray, Lord, even You'll be pleased to save. These things we pray in our Savior's name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Bear with us now. Mr. Park's not going to go to the door, but he's going to go to the gate. And he'll be there just to wave at you as you leave. So we'll ask these brethren to now assist in ensuring that we leave safely. Thank you to the brethren who have helped in directing the traffic tonight. Please be careful going out through the gate. It is a dangerous road sometimes, and you just need to give that caution. So Thank you. Safe home, and the Lord bless.